Okay. So let's look at page two. Did you ever try to explain NLP to somebody? And you said, and they said to you, what is this NLP thing? And you said,
it's a swish
pattern and submodalities. And they went, huh?
What is
Well, it's
that?
Anchoring and reframing. And they went, huh? Well, it's outcomes and rapport. What? So I figure by the time you're a master practitioner, you ought to be able to explain what NLP is. So we'd like to give you the straight scoop. This is, by the way, the company line. This is the thing that I inherited. This thing, it says 1-2. So what is NLP? It's the nervous system, or the mind, through which our experience is processed via 5 senses. We talked about those. Linguistic means language and other nonverbal communication systems through which our neural representations are coded, ordered, and given meaning.
That sounds very, very important.
It is. It's very important. And programming is the ability to utilize and discover the programs that we run, our communications to ourselves and others, in our neurological systems to achieve our specific and desired outcomes. Help! What is NLP? What is NLP? Ah! NLP is the study of excellence and how to replicate it. NLP is the study of excellence and how to replicate it. That's what NLP is. No. What is NLP really? What is NLP really? Section 1, page 3. NLP is an attitude and a methodology that leaves behind a trail of techniques.
What does that mean?
NLP is an attitude and a methodology that leaves behind a trail of techniques. So what's the attitude?
What's the attitude?
What kind of attitude are we suggesting that a masterful NLP master practitioner would have? One of curiosity.
What is going on in this box up here?
It's kind of like, you know, I don't know if you've heard it described this way, but in NLP, we're not interested in how people are broken. We don't do diagnosis. We don't study people to find out how they get sick. We actually study people to find out how they're well. So whenever somebody produces a behavior that seems like it's out of sorts for you, rather than getting upset, you could get curious.
How are they doing
this? And you could
go,
forget why for this particular question. But how in the world could that person produce that behavior?
We mentioned probably, I hope, in one of your practitioners that we had a client which this person remembered for 24 years to do chronic pain.
So this guy came to us. He was 42 years old, and for 24 years of his life, he didn't forget to do pain. In other words, he always remembered. And we said, do you do it every night? He said, well, not every night, but most nights I'm sitting up at the kitchen table with a special chair with my hands on my chin on my hands and my elbows on the table holding my head up. He says, because I can't lie down because my lower back hurts so much. This guy was on morphine patches. He was on pills. He was on every drug you can think of, and his pain was still on the average around 5.
Now you as a master practitioner, you have to ask yourself, how is it possible that this person didn't forget
for
24 years to replicate the same behavior?
You got to get curious, don't you? Because think about it for a minute.
This is masterful. This is really masterful behavior.
We have trash day every at home, you know, every
yep.
When the hell is trash day anyway?
Tuesday night and Friday night.
See, you know, my wife always knows when trash day is. You think I'd remember, but no, I forget. So every Wednesday and what?
Friday.
Every Wednesday and Friday, she's got to say, hey, why don't you...
Tuesday night and Friday night.
See, I knew that. Tuesday and Friday, she says, why don't you put the trash out? And I'm like, is today trash day? Because you'd think they'd have an alarm that would come up or something, you know, on your brain. But no, but here's a guy for 24 years who remembered to do chronic pain. Now, that is an incredibly exquisite behavior. Isn't that an incredibly... Think about it for a minute. He remembered to do chronic pain for most days of 24 years straight. What if he'd used that remembrance? What if he'd used that ability to, you know, to remember everything for something that was good? And see, you got to get curious. You got to get curious, because when you look at that client and you say to yourself, Wow. That's excellence in pain. I mean, think of it. I mean, if there were pain awards, this client that we saw had to take the award. Unbelievable.
So every time a client comes to you with a presenting problem, the first thing you need to do is to ask yourself a question. How is it possible for them to construct this problem the way they do? How do they do it?
How is it possible? How is it possible for this client not only to construct the pain the way they do, but how is it possible for this client to not forget about it?
See, when I was small, when I grew up, and I grew up in Romania, it was a TV series called Michaela. And Michaela was every night at 7:20 before the news. At 7:30 there were the news, and at 7:20 we have this cartoon. And it was a little girl who was teaching other kids how to behave so that they are safe on the road, or how to achieve excellent behavior at school. And it was always very interesting to notice what was going on in that cartoon. Because every time Michaela would appear, she'd say, when I do something and I'm about to start a process. Now, she didn't say to start a process, but we can talk NLP here. Before I start,
we'll paraphrase her words.
Any process, I stop.
Stop.
I look, I listen. Before I even start anything, first thing I do, I just stop. I look and I listen.
What a thought. So you got to get curious about what's going on in the person across from you. It's kind of, I don't know if you remember this when you were a kid. Do you remember Christmas time? Do you guys remember Christmas? Christmas was a big deal. Now, my parents were very through time. As you'll see, my dad was probably the world's biggest judger, because he used to buy presents early, like about October. And then he'd hide them, and he'd always hide them in the same place. But where would he hide them? He'd hide them in the closet. So I'd go ahead and I'd get the big chair, and I'd pull the big chair over to the closet like this. And then I'd get way up on the big chair, like this, way up on the big chair. And you reach and grab that first present and pull it down, yeah? Because you had to know what was inside. You want to know what's inside. Even though the wrapping is different for every present, what's the first thing you do? Shake it! Shake it to find out if it had toys or clothes. And if it had clothes, what would you do? Put it back. Clothes. But if it had toys, what would you do? You'd have to peel back the paper. Wouldn't you have to peel back the paper? Come on, admit it. Peel back the paper. Yeah. Very carefully so as not to rip the paper or the tape, and just peel it back and look inside.
Just peek.
It's, you know what, it's that insatiable curiosity that you need to have as an NLP master practitioner. That insatiable, like, what in the world is going on inside here?
Because every time you start a process, and you know, I remember this so well, it's like, now the first thing you do is just stop, look, and listen. And then the next thing you need to do, I remember it so clearly, is to ask yourself two questions. What do I want and what do I have? These are the two questions you have to ask yourself.
So the first question, stop, look, and listen.
Stop.
What do I want?
And listen. And then you ask yourself two questions. What do I want and what do I have? Now it's very important to remember. It's very important to remember to maintain the same attitude of curiosity throughout the whole therapy. That will make your therapy be very, very comforting for the client. Not curiosity in terms of, let's see, what's up with the gossip here? But the curiosity in terms of what's inside.
Rather than, oh my God, that's terrible.
See, I grew up in Romania, and in Romania at the time I grew up, we didn't have, I mean, we had TVs, but they were black and white TVs. But most of the people were listening a lot to the big radio, the big radio box. And I remember once when my parents weren't at home, I took the screwdriver, and I opened up the top of the radio, Because I wanted to find out, where are the people? Where are those people that talk?
Did you ever do that? Kids do that all the time. They open up the box to find out where the
so
people
are. So I just unscrewed all the four screws, and I took the lid off, and I looked inside.
Huh.
But there were no people.
There were no people inside.
And then I thought, where are those people? And I was so curious. I just couldn't, I mean, I had to find out.
Which leads us to our second thought. And that is the third thing.
The third thing you need to do. Because the very first thing you do, what do? You stop,
look, and listen.
Then you ask yourself two questions. What do I have? What do I want?
What do I want?
Or you know that? Or you know what's happening then? After you ask yourself these questions, what's going to happen, it's going to come a point in your interaction with your client when everything will come together and will fit like a good old pair of shoes. And that's the moment you're shooting for. That's the moment where you know you achieved the goal of that therapy.
What is it again? What do I have? What do I want?
And then it will come a moment when everything are going to fit like a good old pair of shoes.
You know how a good old pair of shoes fits?
And feels.
Yeah, because you say, should I wear the new ones? Or, nah, I'll just wear the good
ones. The old ones
pair
are so comfortable.
Because they're so comfortable. It fits just like that.